Okay. Well, we can probably all agree that there's really awesome people in the world. There's really sweet people in the world. And there are some crazy people in the world. And the reason I say that very generally is because I came across some crazy old people on the internet. Some stories of just some crazy old people. And tonight we're going to talk about the story of an old man. And he's kind of a crazy old man. He's definitely not a good old man. But as I was doing this research, I read about a woman who's 80. The headline reads, "Woman 80 punches cop, throws handcuffs." Okay, so March 8th, 2008, an 80-year-old woman went down swinging when a police officer tried to arrest her. A police officer pulled the woman over at the intersection of U.S. Highway 441 and Hufsetter Drive for an improper lane change. Authorities said that Thalia Logos refused to sign a ticket and punched the officer in the stomach, chest, and the chest several times and tried as he tried to place her under arrest. The officer called for backup, and a Lake County Sheriff's deputy arrived. The two officers finally got her in handcuffs, but she managed to wiggle out of the handcuffs and threw them out of the window of the police car. Okay, that's just a crazy old lady, right? Another old woman, 92-year-old woman, fires a gun after denied a kiss. We feel confident in stating that 92-year-old Helen B. Stottinger has a million times more spunk and fire than your grandma. Why? The Marion County, Florida woman is now behind bars after shooting her neighbor's house after he denied her a kiss and he asked her to leave his property. The neighbor, 53-year-old Dwight Bettner, told reporters that Stottinger has made the moves on him several times before. He has a girlfriend, so when Stottinger asked him to lay one on her, he politely declined the offer. The woman was so enraged by his blatant rejection that she marched back to her house, snatched up her semi-automatic, and stomped right back over and pulled the trigger a few times. Now, right now, let's just say a prayer that Nate, with his concealed carry license, doesn't do anything crazy like that, right? But there's some crazy old people, and I also read a few stories that were just a little too strange to read the whole story. Several stories about naked men driving their cars, old naked men who like to drive naked. That's odd. Also, a story of a lady who doesn't like animals being harmed, birds specifically, and as her neighbor's cats would attack birds, she disliked this, so she poisoned some cat food and ended up killing her neighbor's cats. Just some crazy old stories, old people stories, okay? But generally speaking, there are just crazy people of all ages, not targeting old people here. But tonight we're going to see that there's this crazy old person inside each one of us that we need to deal with, that needs to be dealt with. And tonight we'll see that because of what Christ has done, we're going to deal with him. We're dealing with him. And like I said, we'll be in Colossians 3 tonight. But in this book, the Apostle Paul's been emphasizing that because of Christ, because of what he did on the cross, and by us placing our faith in him, that we died to the old ways. That we died to those old ways. That we rose with him into newness of life. And that eventually we're going to be glorified with him. And no longer does Christ see us as a bunch of sinners. If you're a Christian, he doesn't see you as just this big sinner. What he sees is Christ's righteousness in you. He doesn't see you as this super wicked person who sins all the time, but he sees Christ's righteousness in you. Now, sometimes when you hear of people talking about sin and motivation for not sinning, you often think of Christ's suffering on the cross. And how really that's sad to think about. And it's sad that our sin put him there. But you want to talk about some motivation for righteous living? How about the fact that Christ died on the cross for our sins? He conquered death. And as if that wasn't enough, we now have the righteousness of Christ. God sees you as righteous because of what Christ did on the cross. Now, if that's not motivation for righteous living, for right living, I don't know what is. So, we talked about the fact that we died. We died to these old ways. And no longer does Christ see us as just wicked sinners, but we died to those old ways, we rose with Christ, and we're going to be glorified with him eventually. And so there's a dead old man in our story. There's a dead old man. And we'll see that as we read Colossians 3, 1 through 4. And it says, if you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you'll also appear with him in glory. So thanks to Christ, we died to those old ways. We rose with him, and we're going to be glorified. But we should have a different pursuit in life now. No longer should we pursue whatever we were, but we should pursue Christ and the things of God. We have it's a pendulum swing. Right now, you at one point you were going the wrong way. But now that you've died to the self, you have new life. Is that my fault, Ryan? The battery? Oh, no. We should buy a new one. So anyway. So. We have new life in Christ, right? Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And because of these things, we're pursuing Christ. We're pursuing God. We're pursuing the things of Christ. No longer pursuing other things. And we also have a change of mind. But when I hear the word seek, I generally think of, look for. When you hear the word seek, what do you think? Look for. You got to find something, right? But when I was a kid, we didn't call the game hide and look for. We called it hide and seek. And it was a serious game. And it was awesome. And if you guys are going to play hide and seek tonight, I'm there. Okay? Because that game's awesome. Right? Any big hide and seek fans? Everyone should be raising their hand because that game is just awesome. Okay. Now, when I played hide and seek, I didn't just go around casually looking for someone. No, I became a hound dog, right? I was sniffing whoever was hiding out. I was going to find him. I was in a full-fledged hunt. And that needs to be our same mindset towards Christ. That we're in a full-fledged hunt pursuing Christ. Another thing we need to change is our mindset, as we read. Onto the things above, not the things on the earth. It's so easy to be consumed with position, possession, pleasure. And it's really easy to be consumed with those things, even as Christians, right? Those things are all around us. We're surrounded with them. It kind of makes sense that they entice us so much. That's what they're there to do. And so all these things, we need to change our mind about them. We need to have a pendulum swing in the way we think about these things. No longer are they what we pursue, but Christ is what we pursue. The things above. Now this is just hard to do. And Christ gave some good advice on this in Matthew 6, 19 through 21. He said, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and rust destroy, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves don't break in still, because where your treasure is, that's going to be where your heart is. So you can be, it seems like when I come to this side, it likes to do it. Maybe I'll stay over here. Okay. This is unconventional, huh? So, I'm using this guy. Oh, hi, me. Okay. You guys ready? This has been distracting, huh? Kind of a bummer. Oh, well. All right. So, right? We're not laying up treasures on earth. It's pointless. They're going to get destroyed. There's no point in doing it. But our goal, our mindset now, should be to lay up treasure in heaven.
to pursue Christ. We have this whole mindset change. And the reason we have this mindset change is because we died to that old man. The old man's gone, right? And we're continually putting off that old man. And the world often throws things at us and says, hey, this is happiness. This position at this company, this job, this is what happiness is. Hey, if you just get this thing, you're going to be happy. Get, want. That's where happiness is going to be found. Hey, just go ahead, please yourself. Find satisfaction. That's where happiness is going to be. Go ahead and give into your fleshly desires. That's where happiness is going to be. But that's not the case. That's a lie. And you know what? I know that there's homeless people who are richer and have more successful than the most obviously successful person you can think of. Why? Because if they're a Christian and they're homeless, they're really not consumed with getting things. They're not consumed with a position or a job or anything. But they're just satisfied in Christ. Now, this isn't a call for us all to, like, go hang out on the street for the next year, but rather a call to change our mind about the things we find satisfaction in. Rather than finding satisfaction in possessions, pleasure, and position, we can find satisfaction in Christ because that's where lasting satisfaction comes from. And we do all these things because Christ died for us. And we died with him. When we profess faith in him, we died with him. That old man died. It's gone. And we have newness of life. We rose with him. We no longer live for these things. They should no longer be a habit or life as usual. Life is the norm. But there's something that we're constantly in a full-fledged war against. Something that we're constantly putting off. Putting it off. Verse 4 says that when Christ, who's our life, because Christ we now have life, when he appears, we're going to appear with him in glory. So let me get this straight. Through Christ, I died to my old ways, I now have new life, and when he returns, I'm going to appear in glory with him? Well, what did I do? Nothing. Nothing. And that's the beauty of it, that we can't do anything to receive that grace that Christ offers. But we should be putting to death the old man. 1 John 3:2-3 says, Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope purifies himself just as he is pure. We may not know how it's going to look or when it's going to happen, but we know that if we're in Christ, we're going to be glorified with him. And because we are, we're going to be purifying ourselves. We're going to be pursuing the righteousness of Christ. Our goal is to be just like Jesus. So through Christ, we died to that old way. We rose with him, and we're going to be glorified with him. Now, this old man we're talking about in our story, he had a lot of wicked ways. And some of you guys can think of the wicked ways of your old man. And we're going to read about him here in Colossians chapter 3, 5-9. It says, Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now, you yourselves are to put off all these things. Another list: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Don't lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. So we got to continually be putting to death this old guy, right? He's a tough old bird. We got to keep putting him to death. And you know what? this list, that first list we see, it can be uncomfortable. Perhaps as you read that and I read it, you kind of, you know, squirmed in your seat a little bit, thinking about maybe the past or what's currently happening. It's a graphic list of sexual sin. And those sins have been the downfall of many great Christians because they refused to put to death the old man. They gave into that temptation. Two stories I think of in the Bible. One guy did the right thing. One guy did the wrong thing. First guy, he did the wrong thing. King David, 2 Samuel chapter 11. What happens? He heads out onto his roof, right? It's middle of the night, heads out onto his roof. He sees this beautiful woman bathing on the rooftop. And so rather than like running back in his house and going back to sleep, what does he do? Hey, I'm going to send some messengers over there. Hey, go get her. Bring her over to me. You guys know the story. You know what happens? They sleep together. She gets pregnant. David, in an effort to cover his sin, to hide it, in a roundabout way, he has her husband murdered because of sin, because he didn't turn and run from his sin, flee the temptation. Okay, another story. Genesis 39. Joseph. You guys know the story. Right now, in Genesis 39, he's a servant in Egypt. Okay? He's working in Potiphar's house. He's under Potiphar. He's successful. He's doing good. Potiphar's wife, okay? Every day. Joseph, Joseph, just come be with me, Joseph. Every day. It says day by day that she just kept coming to Joseph. Joseph, come on. No, 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 right? Joseph kept resisting. One day, she grabs him. Lie with me, Joseph. Joseph, no, get off me. Runs out of there. She grabs his clothes, right? She strips him off his back. He runs out. He fled temptation. Now, some of you guys may be thinking, well, she probably wasn't very good looking. That's why it was so easy for him to say no. Not the case, all right? This was like an Egyptian ruler's wife, okay? She wasn't somebody's grandma, all right? You can bet your bucks that she was probably pretty good looking. Would have been easy to give in. But Joseph didn't. He stayed true to what he knew was true. And we must do the same. Because if we give in to temptation like David did, man, it's going to be the downfall of us. It's going to be our downfall. We got to get out of there like Joseph did. Let's go over this list that we read. The first list. Fornication. You know what that is? That's any intercourse outside of marriage. That's what fornication is. Uncleanness. That's contamination caused by impurity. Impure thoughts, impure actions. That's the contamination of impurity. Passion. And in this context, it's uncontrolled sexual urges. It is uncontrolled. Evil desire. That is just cherishing the idea of a sinful act. You thought it and you just hold on to that thought. You cling to it. It becomes your focus. Covetousness. Uncontrolled hunger for sexual desire. Uncontrolled. And you know what it says? It says that covetousness becomes idolatry. Why? Because it becomes the center of your thoughts. Just like that song we sang tonight, Christ be the center of our lives. Man, it becomes the center of your life. It takes place. It takes a place that it shouldn't have. Jesus talked about how we should react to sin. We saw how Joseph did. We saw how David did. Jesus gives some pretty extreme thoughts on how we should deal with sin, right? Okay, Matthew chapter 5, verses 29 through 30. He says, if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. Yikes! For it's more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. Whew! And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. That's extreme, right? That's almost, I would say it's crazy. to pluck out my eye and cut off my hand? I don't see a lot of people, I don't see a lot of Christians walking around with one eye, one hand. You know, it's not really common sight. See, the idea here isn't that we should actually do these things, but that's how we should treat sin. Extremes. Go to extremes to get sin out of your life. If it means throwing away your computer, if it means ending a relationship, if it means changing jobs, if it means moving out of the country, do it. Go to extremes. Because here's what's going to happen if you just continue in these things. If it just becomes the center of your life. Here's what's going to happen. Verse 6. Because of these things, because of this list, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. The wrath of God is going to come upon those who just continue in this disobedience. Those who never change. The wrath of God is going to come upon those whose dominant characteristic is disobeying God. That's what consumes you. That's the center of your life, pleasing yourself and disobeying God. You know, and we all used to live our lives as children of disobedience. We lived it. We walked it. It was us. But through Christ, we died to those ways, right? We have new life. And through Christ, we can put to death the old man. We can put off the old man. We can get rid of him. It doesn't have to be a habit or life as the normal. We can get rid of it through Christ. Okay, so at this point, some of you guys may be thinking, okay, sexual sin, yada, 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 not a big deal for me. It's not really something I'm having a hard time with. I'm good. I've got it. I've got it under control. All right, if that's the case, which I doubt it is, Paul gives a second list of things that the old man does. The wicked ways of the old man, round 2. And this second list, it can kind of be easy for us to overlook. It can be easy for us to overlook the seemingly small sins. But sin is sin is sin. And we need to put off these sins too and get rid of them and get them out of our lives and continue putting them off. And so in this second list, we find anger. That is just a continuous hatred. Just it's continual hatred within us. Wrath, that's acting out on that anger. You take to action that anger. Malice, that's slander. Now, evil speech, speech with the intent to harm. You just want to tear down. You're destructive. Blasphemy, that's speaking evil against someone created in God's image. Filthy language, that is any speech, any, that causes harm to both the hearer and the speaker. Filthy language. That can be easy to overlook, right? You know, and I recently got married, 5 months ago, in October. You know, and as a 22-year-old guy, you would think that I would know pretty much everything about myself, right? You would think I would know that. Okay, but getting married, I found out, boy, do I need the grace of God. I'm a big sinner. Sins that I didn't even know I struggled with or were dealing with, man, I found out. You can ask my wife. I'm a sinner. She'll tell you. Maybe she won't. She's nice. Okay, I found out. And so we need to do some soul searching. We need to look at ourselves, analyze. Are there some seemingly small sins that you're just kind of dusting under the rug? No one really sees. It's all right. That's your mindset. Well, we need to change that mindset. Maybe some of you guys were here a while back that I taught Renovate. But I told a story about how I got pulled over. Okay, I was speeding, and I got pulled over, and the cop thought I was trying to run from him. I wasn't, okay? And he wanted to arrest me, but I was like, no, I wasn't running, I promise. Okay, so I was speeding down this road. That was a few months ago. This week, I was accidentally speeding down the same road. Okay? not on purpose. I'm just driving. It's normal, okay? I happened to look up, and no joke, there's a nun holding a 2-foot wooden cross, and she's just shaking her finger at me with a look of anger on her face. I immediately stepped on the brake. I was like, Lord, thank you for that nun. Okay, remind me not to speed on this road or speed in general. Okay, so within these two lists, we see a bunch of sins that shouldn't be a part of our lives, that shouldn't be habit, that shouldn't be life as usual. They need to be put off. We need to kick that old man out of your house. Why is he there all the time? Get rid of him. I don't want some creepy old man in my house. Get rid of him. There may be temptation to think that, well, I'm not struggling with sexual sin. You know, I'm not doing that. I'm not that bad. But you got a foul mouth. At work, man, they can't tell if you're a Christian or not because it comes out. Your speech changes. Your actions change. You're angry at people. People can't tell. There may be temptation to say, well, I don't want to cause any trouble. I don't want to cause division or anything. So I'm just going to kind of let the sexual sin slide, whatever. It all has to be dealt with. It all has to be dealt with. You wouldn't let an old man leave his dirty socks in your house. You'd get rid of them. Okay? So kick the old man out and kick his dirty socks out too. Verse 9. Paul just tosses this in. He says, don't lie to each other. Don't lie to each other because you've put off this old man. You've put off his old ways. Okay, here's the temptation. Okay, I realize that I've sinned sexually. I realize I've got anger issues. I realize I've got a potty mouth. But I'm just going to not let people know about that. I'm going to lie about it. I'm just going to twist the truth a little bit. People don't need to know that I'm messed up, that I got issues. I'm just going to bend the truth so that I look just a little bit better. I don't want people to know the real me, right? Here's what Paul says. Hey, don't lie to one another. That's dumb. You put off the old man. That's what the old man does, all right? If Christ sees you, if God sees you with Christ's righteousness, then you don't got nothing to worry about. Who cares what anyone else thinks? You don't got nothing to worry about because you have the righteousness of Christ in you because of Jesus. Okay? So we've seen that this old man's dead, but he's a tough old guy. He's got a lot of wicked ways, and we've got to keep kicking him out of our house, getting rid of him, and putting him off. Putting him off. Okay? Now we're going to see life as a new man. All right? The story gets better. Colossians 3, 10 through 17. We're going to read the whole thing real quick, all right? And having put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you must also do. But above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were called into one body. Be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So we put off with the old, right? We can think of the old man as just old clothes, right? Take them off, you're putting on a new set of clothes. You got a new attitude. I got a new attitude. Right? You put off this old man, all right? And we're renewed. It says, verse 10 says that we're renewed in the knowledge of him who created us. Now that you've put on the new man, you're free to live the way God originally intended. The way God originally intended. And that's where happiness is. That's where success is. That's where pleasure is. That is satisfaction. Because he redeemed us, he made us new and able to do that, to live for him, because of what he did on the cross. So we see that this new man, he knows no boundaries of race, religious tradition, social status. But Christ is in all. Christ is all and in all, right? Christ is now our commonality. There's nothing that separates us. We're all on a level playing field because of Christ. You know, in the Greeks, we read those two words, barbarian and Scythian. Scythian, okay? Those were derogatory terms for anyone who didn't speak the language. Scythian was basically, you're a savage because you don't know the language. They were just prideful in that, right? Jews and Greeks. I'm a Jew. I'm a Greek, right? They were proud of that. And that was causing hindrances. But Christ sees no race. Christ sees no religious tradition, no social status. James 2 makes mention of this, showing partiality. James 2, right? My brethren, do not hold the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings and fine apparel, who's looking all good, and there should come in a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing fine clothes and say to him, hey, sit here, sit in this place. And you say to the poor man, hey, stand over there. Here, sit on the floor. Have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Guys, if Christ sees no difference between us, neither should we. Neither should the new man. The new man doesn't judge. He treats everyone as Christ would. In verse 12, we see a list of new clothes, you could say, that the new man puts on. Now, I got to tell you a story. My wife and I, we're big fans of H&M. You guys know the store. It's a clothing store, right? H&M's cool. Okay, my wife and I, whenever we don't have one here in New Mexico. So when my wife and I travel, we're like looking at the maps, getting online ahead of time, finding out where the H&Ms are so we can go hit them up. We become like kids in a candy store, right? It gets kind of dangerous. We go in there. We got a game plan. It doesn't matter what she's looking at or what I'm looking at. We just split up. We know we'll reconvene at the register and take care of business. It's dangerous. It can be dangerous because, you know, we're big shoppers when it comes to H&M. A while back, we were in New York. We had a layover in New York for like 15 hours. New York has 10 H&Ms. We went to all of them. No, I'm just kidding. We went to two of them. We did go to two of them. And here we are on the subway in New York, just like, I've got big bags on both sides, and she's got bags, and we're just crammed on the subway with these big bags of clothes, and it's just ridiculous. We go crazy. Okay, not that that's the best thing to do, but that same attitude that my wife and I have towards H&M, that we just go in, we're on a mission, we're going to get what we want, that needs to be our attitude. That's the attitude of the new man towards the things of Christ. Man, I want them. I'm going to get them. I don't care what it takes. I'm going to lose sleep. I won't eat. I'll do whatever. I just want the new things of Christ, right? You've got a new attitude. And the shopping list, as it were, for the new man, the first thing on the list we see, tender mercies. Now, that's just a heartfelt compassion for others. Man, they're down. They're out. You're right there by their side. You're their best friend in that moment. You feel for them. You're going to cry with them if they need that. You're there for them. Tender mercies. That's a characteristic of the new man. Kindness. That's simple. That's just a Christ-like attitude towards others. Simply explained. Not always simply applied. Right? It's not always easy to be kind. I was just at Taco Bell before Renovate, and I realized I was kind of being like a tired grump to the cashier. Not mean or anything, but I wasn't nice. I was like, so when I was thinking about it as I was cashing out, and I said, hey, have a nice day, because I realized I was unpleasant at that moment. It can be hard. The new man has to put on things and keep them on. Humility. If kindness is a Christ-like attitude towards others, humility is a Christ-like attitude of yourself. You have a Christ-like attitude within you. You're not prideful. You're not arrogant. You don't think you're the hottest thing in town. You're humble. A Christ-like attitude about oneself. Meekness. That's gentleness in approaching others. You're just gentle with them. You're not there to beat their heads in, even though they're wrong. You're just going to be gentle with them and say, hey, here's the truth, all right? The truth in love. Long-suffering. That's just a patient reaction towards people who wrong you. You're just long-suffering. Okay, they did it again. It's all right. It's all right. You're just long-suffering. You're not explosive in anger. You're long-suffering. Verse 13 says that we should bear one another, forgiving one another. You know, far be it from me, the guy who's been forgiven just this huge debt, a debt that I couldn't pay back, that Christ forgave me of. Far be it from me to be so proud that I couldn't forgive someone who just wronged me in the smallest way. Far be it from me. You know what else? Far be it from me to not forgive someone who Christ has already forgiven. Yikes. That puts a new light on forgiveness. Those first two lists, those are clothes we got to get rid of, and we got to put on this last list. We got to clothe ourselves with the righteousness of Christ. Verse 14 gives us the glue that holds all these things together, that makes all these things possible. Love, the bond of perfection. None of these things can happen. We can't put on these new clothes without love. It's the bond of perfection. It's what makes things happen. Jesus said in John 13:35, by this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Love is what's going to hold all that stuff together. It's what's going to make it possible. It's what's going to help you to keep pursuing Christ. Love. Verse 15 says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were also called into one body, and be thankful. You know what the peace of God is? The peace of God is the realization that you have been reconciled to God. You're no longer his enemy. And you know what the evidence of the peace of God in your life is? It's the fact that you're united into this one body. There's unity in this one body because we have the peace of God. We're no longer God's enemies, but now we've become his friends, his children. That's the peace of God. Knowing that you were the enemy of the all-powerful creator of the universe. You were his enemy. But through Christ, you've become his child, his friend. It's awesome. He throws in something simple there at the end of verse 15. Be thankful. What do we have to be thankful for? Well, the fact that God called us out of darkness, out of misery, into light. He gave us new life. We put off the old man. It was miserable. It was miserable, remember? It was miserable, the old ways. Happiness is found in Christ, not those old things. And the result of Christians putting off the old and putting on the new and being loving people, the result is going to be that the gospel is going to dwell richly in us. It's going to become priority. The fact that Jesus loves sinners and died for them. That's priority. That dwells within us richly. That brings joy. And the result is that, hey, we're going to teach each other. We're going to encourage each other. We're going to sing songs together because we have the peace of God. That is awesome. That's the result of the new man. He's a happy guy. He's no longer some crazy old person who's like shooting up his neighbor's house. In fact, he's over at his neighbor's house patching up the holes from the other guy. Verse 17, okay? Now, we all know the WWJD bracelets. Kind of dorky, but kind of awesome at the same time. Sorry if you're wearing one right now. Okay? They were cool in the 90s when we were all five. Okay? Not so much anymore. Great meaning, not so great looking. Okay, verse 17, the original WWJD bracelet, all right? And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Okay, basically, we shouldn't say or do anything that we can say in the name of Jesus, right? That we can say, this message is approved by Jesus. That we couldn't put the stamp, the big red stamp, Jesus. That's a big task. I can't do that. The old man can't do that. But we can through Christ. Because God sees me, the sinner, as righteous because of Christ. My goal now, my new goal, isn't just to continue as I am, but to put off the old, put on the new. My goal is to actually work towards becoming that righteousness. My goal is to be the righteousness that God already sees me as. And that needs to be our goal. That's the goal of the new man. To be like Christ. All through Jesus, we died to the old man. We rose into newness of life. When he returns, we're going to be glorified. And in the meantime, we're kicking the old man out. We're putting on the new, and we're living for Jesus. Are you with me? Okay, half of you guys are. Are you with me? Okay, that's a little better. But are you with me? Okay, good. Okay, but let's get down to the nitty-gritty. Tonight, there's some of you guys in here who are having a hard time putting off the old man. You've been trying to go it alone. And it's hard. You're lost. You're struggling. You're beat up. But I want you to know that we're here for you. Tonight, we want to help you deal with the old man. Tonight, God wants to kick him out of your house. He wants to get rid of him for you. But you got to decide that you want to open the door for him. So tonight, as the band comes up here in a few minutes, we're going to sing another song. But after the service, there's going to be leaders up here. And guys, we're not here to judge you. We're not here to say, wow, that's pretty bad. We're here to say, let's deal with it. Okay? And tonight, maybe there's some of you guys who, you're listening to this whole thing, you realize, man, I don't have any righteousness. I'm an old man. I'm a crazy old man. I need to get dealt with. Here in a minute, I'm gonna give you an opportunity to let Jesus come in and take over. He wants to do it if you'll let him. But you just got to decide, hey, I'm opening the old door, the door for the old man to go out, and I'm going to let Jesus in. I'm going to put on the new man. Tonight, you can make that decision. Let's pray.